Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Mosier continue their discussion on the formula of concord, looking at Article 11 and another Old Testament passage and its application. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing our march through some Bible study episodes on Article 11 of the formula, and we're talking about God's foreknowledge, God's election, all those good things that we're talking about here.
But Adam has an interlude for us that he's been champing at the bit.
I made it
goal. Champing. It's the real phrase.
Wow.
Really?
That's interesting.
Wow. Thank you for that, Jason. On that note,
I deserve what's coming.
I can't wait for this.
All of these things that we say in life that just bother Jason, you know, all of these, if it's not quite Lutheran precise. So I asked the internet, aka Google Gemini. Oh. I asked them, what are some phrases that would annoy Jason Goodham? And I think Gemini knows you well. It says, as a confessional Lutheran pastor and theologian who emphasizes the Book of Concord and the clear distinction between law and gospel.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me, by the way.
Jason Goodham likely finds certain churchy platitudes particularly grating. Based on his theological background and his work with the Being Lutheran podcast, here are some phrases that would probably get under his skin. And they broke it down into categories. there are categories.
I'm a complex individual.
In the first category is the decision and relationship phrases, such as, I decided to follow Jesus, or it's not a religion, it's a relationship.
Also,
invite Jesus into your heart.
Yeah, three for three.
Okay, now we have a new category. Vague spiritualism and, quote, the Spirit's leading. So
also that?
I just feel like the Lord is leading me too.
Yep.
The Spirit told me.
Yep.
Just listen to your heart.
Yep. Okay.
Now, moralism, this is a new category. Moralism.
This is
doing,
hilarious.
Yeah. Doing great things. So doing something big for God.
Yep.
Living your best life now. That's low-hanging fruit. Come on, Gemini.
That was too easy.
All right. What is God's vision for your life?
Yep.
Okay. Christianese fillers. Love the sinner, hate the sin.
Yeah.
I don't know if that one, maybe that one would get you. No, I don't think that's
up to that point, you were
100%. I'll pray for you, which is not that big of a deal.
No.
God never gives you more than you can handle.
Yeah, that's awful.
There we go. And then the fifth category, law-heavy platitudes. You just need to have more faith.
Yep.
The Bible is the basic basic instruction manual before leaving
Earth. No, that's terrible.
So, Gemini, it's
like a 90% maybe?
Uncomfortable. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Comfortably well-versed.
I'm a simple man. Straightforward.
apparently, Gemini is a listener.
In the words of Jason Goodham. Yeah. All right.
Wow. That whole list was probably a God thing.
I'm going to figure out how many times I can work that in all these into the next podcast. So here we go. All right, Brett, what are we doing today?
Yeah, so we're looking at Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, and I'll read that for us, and we'll launch into our discussion here. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Here ends the reading of God's Word.
Amen.
Amen. I wish we could have read the whole thing.
Right.
I mean, and I would encourage you to do that. If you're, obviously, if you're driving and listening to this, don't read it now. And you're probably familiar with it. Some of you maybe have it memorized. But at the end of the day, this is a really good psalm. And there's so much there. And it's all tied together. It's not like we just read a part. It's not like that part stands alone from the rest.
Right.
It flows from what's around it.
So let's do this. We encourage you to pause the podcast right now and read it. Okay, and we're back. I hope you enjoyed that 24 verses of Psalm 139.
Yeah, right.
Through the magic of radio.
So as we closed out last week, you know, I was talking about how God sees the future for us, and he is, you know, all of the blessings of life and all of the blessings that come along with salvation, such as being his children and being watched out for. A lot of those stories that I, you know, shared last week or some of the things we can all point to in our own lives really stand out to me here in this particular psalm, because there's a period of time in my life, you know, where you go through things, everybody does, and you go through the things that you don't fully understand, and you feel like you're walking in the dark. And this is a verse we didn't read, but if you go back just one verse from where we started, Brett, reading today, mm-hmm. you see, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with you. There is profound comfort in that. It doesn't ever say you're going to get to see in the dark. It says that you're with one who does see in the dark. And that's the gospel promise, I think, in this whole foreknowledge of God, is that sometimes, like we talked about last week with Joseph got to see the end game. He saw, you know, the benefit to his brothers and the people that were rescued, you know, through from the famine through his appointment and leadership. But we also see in our own lives, even if we don't get the end story, here is God working. He knows us intimately. He knows us intricately. He knows us from the beginning, before we were even formed, it says here. And in all of that, even though we walk in the dark, we have one who knows so much more. The doctrine of foreknowledge, then, is intentionally to be understood as a gospel thing, not a law thing. And primarily, I know we can go the other direction, but I'm going to argue that the doctrine of foreknowledge for the Christian is almost exclusively gospel.
Yep. The election has to be the gospel. Otherwise, I mean, you run into so many different conflicts that you have to kind of just brush aside, and it's because of God's care for us, and it's because he knows what happened, and that's what's spelled out in verse 16, which is the verse that's cited in Article 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Which verse is 16?
Yeah, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them the days that were formed for me. And this is where you can go back to last week's episode, and I talked about the difference between a divine fatalism and an open theism, and we don't go in either one of those directions because it puts human limitations on God's sovereignty. And we can't understand the mystery of the divine in these areas unless they're revealed to us. And so the Lutheran hesitation is we go to where God's word takes us. We go to where God has revealed the mystery to us, but we can't go farther.
Yeah.
And we dare not fill in the blanks with human concepts, because that would be to lower God to a human level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can say the scripture says there's a book. The number of our days are there. That's as far as we know.
That means I can live however I want, eat whatever I want, act however I want, because, I mean, I'm not going to die a day sooner or later than God intended me to die, right?
Yeah, and you got to hold that intention with the guy who says, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And God looks at him and says, you fool.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, I was baiting you there, Jason. It didn't work like I wanted it to. You know, God told me to tell you that, and it was unfortunate he didn't pick up on it. That whole idea, I think there is that tension of, like, there is human responsibility and divine authority that goes into the kind of the tension here. And it's like, yeah, we are, that it does not, well, for instance, I'll give you a for instance in the New Testament. Pilate was not innocent of the blood of Jesus. Is that fair? Right?
Yes, correct.
He was not innocent of the blood of Jesus. Yet, it's exactly how, you know, how does he say it in Acts? That it was as he was destined to do? Like he did what he was destined to do.
Is that about Pilate or is that about Judas?
But I think there's both.
Yeah.
Judas is, I think...
Judas goes to the place that was prepared for him, mm-hmm. I think is
and
the
I
wording.
And I think that's in a different... I think this is an Acts, maybe. But Pilate, it's like... So Pilate is responsible for his actions. But God had full control over the outcome of Pilate's actions.
Yep.
And what that was going to mean for the world. And so... All that to say, I think we need to hold that intention of, like, the reality is Joseph's brothers were wrong. It doesn't matter. Joseph didn't say it's okay as much as they are forgiven, right? And that's a key distinction here. He didn't say it's fine that you went ahead and went this direction and sinned against me. No, we didn't do that. We talked about that last week, but he didn't say that. He didn't say it's fine. He said you're forgiven. They're responsible. They sinned against him, but God usurped that for his good and glory.
So there's a way to explain this in a weird 90s way, and I think I'm going to go there, and I don't think either one of you are going to track with me, because it would involve some next-level pop culture familiarity. But there is a really good movie.
A challenge.
Yeah, so a really good movie from the 90s that got almost zero hype, and it's a movie called The 13th Floor. And it's Dennis Haysbert is in it, so the old insurance guy.
Everything you're saying right now is too much of a deep track, yeah.
Yeah. So The 13th Floor is a computer simulation. So it's kind of Matrix-y, but it came out a little bit before The Matrix. And inside the computer simulation of real life, someone built a computer simulation. And so you go two levels deep.
This is kind of like Inception a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah. It's kind of weird. Yeah. But the point of this is the people who are living in the first computer simulation think they're living in real life. And they say, well, do something you wouldn't expect to do, and that's where you'll find the end of the simulation. So this guy's like, well, on a whim, I'm going to drive to Las Vegas in the middle of the night. And he gets in his car, and he drives to the outskirts of the city, something he'd never do, and he finds the limits of the computer simulation. And this is how people think about life poorly when it talks about God knows, what's the phrase here? In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. Okay, the days that are formed for you aren't a script. And you are not pre-programmed to follow this script. And it's not a book that God's reading for his own amusement. Just because God knows what's going to happen doesn't mean he causes what's going to happen. And that is the point where we stop. Because we don't know how that works, because God is divine and we're not. And so we're not in some sort of cosmic divine computer simulation. We are in the world operating as God has designed in the world in such a way that God is not the author of evil, but instead God is using his foreknowledge for our benefit. And that turns the way we think about this on its head, yeah. Which is why the Lutherans distinguish between foreknowledge and election, and then they go straight to Jesus.
Were you describing the Truman Show?
No, I was not. 13th floor.
I feel like that was the Truman Show.
No, Dennis Haysbert, yeah. Gretchen Mol, and...
You are strange. You're a different person, aren't you?
I used to work at a movie store back when people sold movies. I had to know stuff like that.
Do you play Trivial Pursuit?
I do, okay, and I'm really good at it.
I can imagine.
I will say it's not a recommendation because it's not always the most wholesome movie in the world, but it is a really intriguing concept, and it is a movie that deserved to get way more attention than it.
I love those kinds of things, and you know, the whole genre of like time travel, it kind of fits into this too.
No more. We're making fun of Jason for making weird turns here. Brett's taking us to Hot Tub Time Machine or something like that.
Yeah, so. I think that.
we're waiting with bated breath to see you tie this one up, Bo.
No, I just the
bow tie a bow
tie a bow.
Yeah. See, I did that
bow tie. No, I think people like thinking about that idea and playing around with it because we can't, because we're not God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly,
and so. God is, I mean, even AI, which is human created, sometimes does predictions and so on, and we get amazed at that. It's like we're amazed at ourselves in some ways, but God is like so far above all of that and working together, all of that. So, yeah, that was the point I was making.
Now, for the reason that we don't want to include human understanding of how God operates in his eternal foreknowledge and his predestination is the same way that we can't talk about the Trinity in other ways than what God has revealed about the Trinity. Because as soon as we start to add human understanding to the Trinity, Trinity, we end up on a Lutheran satire video. We've committed heresy, right? Yeah, yeah. And there are these things where the Lutherans stress over and over and over again, do not seek God in the hidden counsel of his divine mystery.
Yeah.
Do not go there because he hasn't permitted us. He tells us what we need to know for the purpose of law, gospel, for the purpose of seeing Christ. And that's what he does. Yep. When we fill in the blanks of a divine omnipotence with human lack of omnipotence, I don't, just potence, I mean, whatever it might be.
Partial potence.
You end up, partial potence, I like that. Quasi.
Yeah, quasi-potent.
Quasi-potent. Find out in Brett's new forthcoming systematic theology.
Quasipotent.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But
the Brett Bowe story.
You end up with a schizophrenic God.
Yeah.
Who is partially omnipotent and partially human. And that's why we can't insert our logic into the equation, okay? Do we know that God has eternal foreknowledge? Yes, it tells us multiple places in Scripture. Do we know how that works? Nope. So we got to stop, okay? Yeah. Do we know by nature of what God says in his word, and whatever the two New Testament passages we choose to study of the probably two dozen that are available to us, we know that God has chosen us before the foundations of the world in Christ to be saved. And this talks about both our individual salvation and God's plan to save through Christ. Both of those happened before the beginning of time. God tells us in his word that that's reality. Do we know the how or the why or anything? Nope. So we don't go there. We don't explain those divine things on human terms.
Right. And I think even this psalm is intended for our comfort. Like, I don't sense that this psalm is a, we're meant to, like, really dwell on it so much. I think the intended purpose, what the Spirit is working,
it's comfort.
Is comfort, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, not the, and there's a passage I want to go to next week. We haven't
voted on
that yet.
Well, I'd say it, and then you, well, if you say it, then
I don't want to do that, because if you guys don't want to go this direction, that's fine. But I will say, like, as we look, I don't know where I was going with this. Oh, yeah. That you know that God is a way that he is. Because yep. He says that. We don't know the why or the how behind it sometimes. And that is, I think that's what's going on here. I think this whole psalm is to remind us, and there's something comforting about this. There's something terrifying in for the unbeliever, but there's something comforting for the believer here. And that's that I am small and God is big.
Yep.
And that's what this shows. I am blind, but he can see. I am weak, but he is strong. All of these, you know, I can't flee from his presence. I can't go anywhere that he isn't. I'm kept safely in the palm of his hand. That's a gospel promise for the believer. To the one who's confident and think that they are the ones who are the master of their, you know, of their fate, this is an offensive psalm. Mm-hmm. It's like, God sees things we can't. That's offensive. No, I'm going to figure this out. Just a little more human ingenuity, a little more AI, a little more something is going to help us understand. And so I think it really comes down to, if we are in Christ, these are gospel promises, and we don't need to go the direction that you're describing. We can rest in the fact that door's closed to us.
Yeah, it's the gospel is the death blow to human autonomy. Is that salvation rests in us not having a say in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that God determined. It's where we want, like Psalm 139 fits really nicely hand in hand with what Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do far more than we could ask or imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing, right? If you leave human salvation up to humans, it's eventually going to be works righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's just the way. We can't conceive of a way to be saved unless we're the ones getting right.
Mm-hmm.
And God's like, not only am I going to save you, but I'm going to do it in such a way that it is absolutely beyond your capacity to wrap your brain around it.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm going to tell you is I'm sending my son to die in your place. And that's kind of the comfort that's going on in Psalm 139. That's the level of trust that God wants us to have, because he formed us by his own hand in our mother's womb. And this is God has a wonderful plan for your life language. I missed that one. That was a big, massive whiff. But it's God knows That doesn't mean he causes, but he knows, and that level of knowledge is the comfort. Mm-hmm. That you invoked deism a few minutes ago, Adam, and that's the thing, is we don't have a God that doesn't care. We don't have a God that set the watch and then went on vacation and is, you know, rocking on a porch somewhere in the Caribbean enjoying the nice summer breeze. It's we have a God who manages every single atom in the whole universe, and yet it's not too tough for him to be individually involved in each one of our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that should thrill us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You talk about this being a comfort to the Christian, and I did too, about being a comfort to the believer. This is a polemical thing, you know, between Lutheran distinctions from Reformed theology, where this so-called double predestination would come in. Well, see, well, clearly here it's saying that he knew who he was going. And I don't think that that's ever spelled out in Scripture in a way that we can be confident in. In fact, there's places in Scripture where God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He takes no, you know, like all of these things that, you know, kind of fly in the face of that. And I think that when we do that, we're taking away from the comfort that it's meant to have.
Yep.
We're taking away from the peace. We're taking away and then kind of, and I think, robbing the gospel of what it's intending to do for the believer. But maybe that's too much of a stretch.
No,
I
think it's absolutely appropriate for us to respond to an accusation of double predestination, or an accusation from someone who believes in double predestination, for us to say, no, God's election is a law gospel issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we do not, under any circumstance, want to turn the gospel into law here, because then we're robbed of that comfort. And that's principle number one from the perspective of Lutheran theology.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on Article 11 of the Formula of Concord, looking at a New Testament passage and its application. If you would like more information about the Bible School or the seminary, please visit our website at flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.